Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and turn on notifications so that you will receive alerts when there are new episodes. Go get it.
This is what I tell them. Look.
I've been grinding for so long, I wake up and chase my goals. I go out and I go get it. Hot or cold, that's all I know. I don't succeed, then I don't breathe. Success, what does it mean? If I conquer all my goals, then I'm living out my dream. Dig deep, go out and get it. Success Chronicles. Compete until it's finished. Success Chronicles. Go take care of your business. Success Chronicles. It's deeper than just winning. Success
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Chip Baker coming to you with a session today. I'm so excited about this one. Today, we're going to hit on communication and education. And I have some great men on with us, longtime educators doing some great things. And actually, you know, my guy, Charles Woods, and I were working on a project. And, you know, big thing is, you know, we're just, you know, hitting on communication and education. We think it's something that is a topic that's needed, needs to be, you know, stressed on, learned, developed, you know, all of those things. And so we've just been discussing those things. But what I want to do is first is just kind of go around the horn and let everybody just, you know, briefly introduce themselves, tell their name, their title, and how many years they've been in education. So we'll go around the horn and do that, and I'll kick that off. I am Chip Baker. I currently am a teacher. I teach special ed. I've done lots of different things throughout my career, but I'm in my 25th year in education. And so, Woods, I'll pass it over to you.
All right. My name is Charles Woods. This is 20 plus years in education. I'm currently working as a coordinator over special services.
Swan, Mr. Anthony Swan.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anthony Swan. This is my 17th year in education, and I currently serve as
awesome. I don't know. Did y'all get to cut out any little bit over there? If you don't mind, I want to make sure. I want to give you an opportunity to say that again, Swan, because you cut out on my end. So if you don't mind, just giving that to them again so they can get you.
All right. Sorry about that.
My name is
Anthony Swan. This is my 17th year in education, and I currently serve as an assistant principal at an elementary school with 500 plus children.
Awesome. Awesome. And then we have Mr. Edward Eddie Lopez.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure and honor. I've been in education. I think it's my 24th year in dual roles, from special ed teaching to now administrating for the last, I want to say, 15 plus. So it's been a joy. Assistant principal at a junior high this time. And so great direction, Dr. Todd. I mean, great team members there. And about 1,400 students, I think that's what we have right now.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, let's dive into, before we dive into it, I just want to say thank you guys so much for taking the time to just talk, you know, communication and education. And thank you so much for what you do. You know, two of the guys on the call here, like, I've worked, you know, side by side with them. So I know, like, they're awesome. Right. And then the other guy that's on, he was the Virginia State Teacher of the Year. So that just tells you right there, he's awesome too. So just that in itself, just great men. And then even bigger than that, I know the guys and I know their background stories and I know their whys, right? The why they do what they do. And that's even greater. And so not sure you get to hear all of that on this, but we will hit on communication. And I know some of that's going to come out. So you audience, I just want you to know that you're in for a treat. So the first question that we're going to hit on is, why is it important to have effective communication in education? And we can kind of go in the same order as how we went. We can go Woods, Swan, and then Lopez. So Woods, I'll pass it over to you, man.
All right, man. There's so many different ways that you can approach this. We're talking about effective communication and education. I'm going to take a dive into, there's so many things going on a day-to-day in education that there is no time for stumbling and fumbling and trying to figure things out and assuming and guessing, because there are so many things that you have to get done. There are so many things that you're accountable of. There's so many young men and women that we're taking care of. And from an administrative lens, you're taking care of people, period. So there's a need, because there's no time to waste. It's minimal time. So if you have that effective communication from the jump start, then that narrows down a lot of your issues that occur on campuses and departments, on teams, and what it may be. So I think that is a major part. Like, you
Yeah.
cannot survive and you cannot be successful without that communication.
It's good. Swan, what you got on that?
Okay, so I'm going to put on my teacher hat right now, versus an administrator hat. I look at the adjective effective. Your communication has to be effective. You can communicate, but the question is it effective? Did it get across? Did it was it was it received? And I think about how a lot of times text messages can be misconstrued, emails can be misconstrued, class dojo messages can be misconstrued. It is very important that a parent or a community member hears your voice, hears your tone of voice. It is very important that you hear them. A lot of times, teachers can become intimidated with in-person communication to parents because they feel like the parent is dogmatic, or they feel like, they're afraid of confrontation. But I want to challenge those out there. Confrontation is good. Confrontation is good because it can help the parent to understand you as a teacher. It can help the parent to understand your perspective and not just over a message that you type out. You have to learn to be effective, as well as just letting somebody hear your voice. And because sometimes, like I said, those things can be misconstrued, and we cannot be afraid to have courageous conversations with people in the building, with people, with our administrators, with teachers, with parents, with community members. You have to be able to be on the same page. And if you all bring it back together and say it's for the success of their child, then parents will be more receptive to hearing what you have to say versus you going in with your wall up and their wall up. If you just break that barrier with effective communication, they always say the first 2 weeks of school, call every parent. That is true. Like, let them hear you. Something that I do, as even as an assistant principal, there are times where I call kids to my office and they're scared to death, and I just say, "I'm calling your mom because I've called her for all the bad stuff. I haven't seen you in my office for about 2 weeks. Let me call her and tell her that you're doing good." And I think that that's effective communication, because the parent, now when I call for something bad, it's not always me. Them hearing the bad stuff, they also hear the good stuff. So that's my take on why it's important.
So good. I love that. I love how you implemented the good as well with that, and then the student success piece. So I love that part. All right, Lopez, what you got on that?
Gentlemen, y'all giving me the easy part. All I can say, good God, I got ditto on this right here. Because hey, great, great points, gentlemen, great points. And you know what? Just to take it that one step further, I love that interpersonal part of people knowing your heart, because just like we talk to kids, they know how you come across, and they either believe you or they don't believe you. That's the same thing with parents, and when we're trying to make those and build those relationships, communication, like you said, gentlemen, is key. Is the key, and I want to even take it one step further. That not only there, not in the community, but also at home, because I'm a strong Christian man. You gotta show from the heart, what the issue is. Let's break it down and let's all come together and try to find a solution. But it comes down to that communication aspect of making sure that everyone has that piece of the puzzle that they have to add. No matter what that is, everyone is valuable. And that's how communication works for me.
It's good. I
Yes.
love that. I think too, one thing I'll throw in just in answering, I've been in several different situations, as far as school environments, and some of the most effective leaders that I've seen have been those that communicate well. They set the expectations, they let you know why, they run it down. And I've seen different. I've seen, some that are not big talkers. I've seen some that are big talkers. I've seen some that are huge emailers. I've seen some that are not emailers, but whatever it is, they set up their system of effective communication, and then everyone else that they lead falls in line because they know what that is. But you said something, Lopez, and I thought that was amazing. Is the heart. You see the heart, and I think that when you can see the heart and understand where it's coming from a good place, like you said, Swan, it's for the success of the kids. Like, it's not about me. It's for the success of the kids. And when they see that heart, I just think that everything gets better and flows smoother when you're able to do those things. Yeah. So let's hit to question number two that I have for you guys. All right. So question number two is, what are some things you have seen that work well to have great communication in education? So what are some things, based off of your experiences that you've seen that were, pretty effective? Because, this can be a resource for people that are checking this out. They can implement this in their school setting. So we'll do the same rotation. We'll go with you, Woods.
There's plenty of things I've seen, but one of the things that I've seen that I kind of like was there's surveys. You take a survey depending on your organization, especially when you're trying to work on your communication on your campus as a principal, or you're trying to work on communication as a team that you work with or a department, or even with your community. There's some sort of survey that's given out to see what is the most effective and efficient, and what does that clientele really like to use when communicating. And then once you have, determined what that is, what is the most popular in that realm, then you got to train it. Like, just like Swan said, like dojos, text messages, voicemails, all of that stuff can get misconstrued by, how you're typing it, or your tone or your volume when you're speaking. So you got to train it so it's effective, and it's not, you're not getting, you're not upsetting others when you are having that communication. Therefore, that communication will be effective. But I think you have to see what your clientele likes the best. You train it, then you implement it, and then you got to use it consistently. You can't just use it for a little while because this is something that we decided we're going to do. It's got to be consistent use, and it's got to be used with fidelity. So those are some things that I've seen.
That's good. What you got, Swan?
So I'm a writer. I jot my thoughts down.
Yeah.
I want to speak about with parents first, and then I'll go to teachers. So with parents, what I found to be to work well is getting their buy-in and asking them, "Mom, Dad, how would you like for me to communicate with you?" I have parents that, that have given me directives. Every time my child is in the office, I want a phone call. And so now, when their child is in the office, if I got to bring, I'm calling. "Hey, Dad, I'm respecting your wishes. You told me to call every time your son is in my office." And that helps to develop that trust with the parent, because then the parent will say, "Okay, you listening to my directives. You really do have what's best, what's best for my child at heart, And then I've addressed parents with, "I need your partnership." Or if the parent has given the teacher a hard time, or even I've had parents to give me a hard time, and I've had parents to come in my office and they were upset, and I just used the wording, "Mom, I need your help. This is your daughter. You know her best. I need your help in serving her. Help me. It's a partnership. It's a teamwork. Help me to, because I want them to be successful, but right now I have exhausted all my measures. What else can I do?" And then putting the ball back in that court, back in their court, it helps them to see, "Okay, He really does want to work with me to make sure my kid is successful. Now, addressing teachers, some of the things that I've found to work well, some things with some issues, you have to address them head on and have courageous conversations. I remember being a teacher, and the teacher was livid with me, and she even left out the meeting, and I followed her to her room. I said, "Let's talk about it. I want to hear your heart. I want to hear what's going through your mind. Did I embarrass you? I want to be reflective because I'm not always right, And at the time, the teacher said, "I just need time and space." And so that's what I did. But then the very next day, the teacher's like, "Stop avoiding me. Let's talk." So, and I say that to say this: when you address things and you don't let it linger, then no feelings have time to fester because you all know what you're thinking, because you're being receptive as the leader, not feeling like it's your way or the highway, but letting them know I'm human, but I could have did that wrong. Help me and how I can serve you. And I found those to be some things that helped me to communicate well.
Good, so good right there. Lopez, what you got?
I thank you for putting me last, because my goodness, I'm scratching off all my stuff. And like, come on, I want to just shoot from the hip. But
Hey,
man, I
when it get to
love
you, are you saying this?
it. I
Yeah,
know
what they
these are sentence
said.
parts. I'm thinking, yes, baby, yeah. At least we're all the same track and flow of mindset here. I like it. But that honesty aspect that I hear everybody saying, in regards to how your tone, like Ms. Wood said, and also Anthony, as far as making sure you're hitting all those pieces, and when it doesn't go right, don't give up, because that's important. But also that transparency and honesty part, because again, I keep going back to that heart aspect that was I just heard Anthony say too, that we at our campus, I love it so much because we have this family vibe. I mean, it's just a tight-knit family, to where, just like you said, you're going to go back to that teacher. She has issues, or you can sense it. You just see it. And the same thing with parents. You're like, okay, they're coming in, they're hot, they just got to get it off their chest. And hey, so, and we're that person, So you just have to be able to listen and take it all in. And then, like we said before, break it down piece by piece and work on it together. Because, like you said, yeah, it's a team effort. And so I think making sure you have their best sense at heart, which we're there for the children, like was said before, but I think that's true. And once they realize that, hey, it's a go, because they're going to be all buy it in. And so we're going to say, let's do it. Thank you,
Awesome. Good
gentlemen. That's
stuff.
it.
I think for me, there's three words that come up when I think of some of the things that have been that I've seen that have worked great as far as communication and education. And the first word is consistent. I think whatever system that's being used, as long as there's consistency with it, then everybody knows that like this is the way that it goes. Right. I think then from there, the honesty with the communication, right? So, open, honest, being considerate but not sugarcoating, but just having the hard you have to have hard conversations. The ability to allow you to have growth lies within your ability to be able to have tough conversations. Right. And you can take that. That's not just school environment. That's life. So in life, those people that can have a system, have a way by which they communicate, oh man, you're gonna develop those relationships and that and bonds, and you're gonna learn and grow together. Because we're all not gonna be at our best all the time. There's some ways we have to like give and take and learn and grow and say, hey, I messed that up. I'll work on being better with that. And that takes me into the third word that comes up for me, and that's effort. Man, I rock with effort all day long. And those great educators that were communicators that I saw, they gave great effort. Even if you knew where their heart was. You knew that, they were trying to make a positive difference, even if they made a mistake, and they were able to say, "Hey, I blew that, guys. As a staff, hey, I messed that up, but here's how I was going to fix it, and I'll be better on this the next time." And so that allows you to give grace and forgiveness, because I'm not perfect. So I sure, Kane, I don't know if I can expect you to be perfect if I'm not perfect. So we're in this thing together, and we're going to figure it out for kids, because it's not about either of us. And so, man, that's one of the things that I've seen to be effective. You got something on that, Woods? Thought you said you want, did you have something on that, Woods? I don't know if you had something else you wanted to comment on from that.
Oh no, but I just think about like that's something that people struggle with day to day, the candid conversations. Like every conversation is not gonna be smooth peaches and roses. I think that's some of the things that in education that really doesn't help push us or further, because not enough people are willing to have those candid conversations. What you say, Chip, is not about what you say, it's how you say it. You can
That's it.
still get points across that need to be addressed by having that conversation respectfully, and your delivery is appropriate. So, it's so right when you talk about having those conversations that are deep like that, that sometimes get missed because people just want to avoid that conflict. You gotta have it, especially in the leadership roles.
And even just hearing you say that, even I thought about it, I think Swan mentioned this too, even with the tone,
Yes.
like I can say the same statement, "Hey, I need you to do this," or "Hey, I need you to do this." That's the same thing, but it's different tone, and so you have to be considerate of that too. But I think that falls back into the consistency piece as well. Anything else you guys have on that before we go on to the next one?
Man, that's that paraverbal communication, Chip. Tone, volume, and speed can be misconstrued all the time. We see that a lot when dealing with our little babies, man. When we're dealing with the kids on campus that we're trying to get right, man. And that tone, that volume, and how fast or how slow, didn't I tell you? Can be misconstrued. Can spark that fire, that flame.
Hey, you took me back to some home training right there. Hey, like sometimes that came with a pinch and getting close to you. Well, you feel that hot breath on you, right? Like, hey,
That ear pull, right?
didn't I tell you with the grit in the teeth, boy? You got
Man, you
some of it
just
up.
embarrassed me in front of the whole class.
Yeah,
Oh,
that's some up close and personal right there. Yeah, anything else you guys got on that one before we go on to the next one?
I just want to add that you cannot grow if you're comfortable. And so if you're
So
having
good.
an uncomfortable conversation, it's for your betterment. Whether it's your leader having the conversation with you or you as a leader having the conversation with a subordinate, nobody can grow in this profession if you're comfortable. So you have to be forced to be uncomfortable to help you to be a better and more effective communicator and educator.
That's so good. That's so good. Give them that uncomfortable statement again. I put you on speaker view, so it's just you, so you can give them that again. They need that.
So I was saying that no one can grow if you're comfortable. You have to be made to feel uncomfortable in order for you to grow. For instance, if you are a leader and you have to have an uncomfortable conversation with the people you're leading, it's not to blast them or it's not to demean them. It's to help them to reflect so that they can be better in the aspects that they're serving. So it's the same way if your leader comes to you and have an uncomfortable conversation, it's to help you to reflect so that you can be a better communicator and a better educator.
So good. Thank you for sharing that. All right, so we're gonna go We have Dr. Wallace that jumped in with us, and what we've done so far, Doc. First off, thanks so much for jumping in and taking the time to be with us. But what we I love for you to get before we go to our next question, I love for you to tell your name, your title, and then your years in education, so people can have an idea of who you are.
All right, glad to be here, glad to support Coach Baker, and glad to see these great gentlemen who are here. Dr. Jerry Wallace here. I serve as the Dean of Student Services at Lone Star College, Montgomery campus. I've been in higher education 17 years, work for full time for different collegiate institutions, including two community colleges and two universities. But I also teach as an adjunct professor in graduate school at three other institutions. So working with students from dual credit all the way up through doctoral degrees. So love it, enjoy it, just trying to give back to as many people as I can.
Awesome. And before we go on, I know there's two questions that we already hit on, but I want to ask you one of them before we go to this last one that we hit. And just specifically for you, why do you feel it's important to have effective communication in education?
Well, we talk about that all the time in higher ed, because on the higher ed side, as professionals, faculty, and staff, we use college language that a lot of students don't understand. We use dates and terms and lingo. And when you have students or families who are coming in their first time in college or first generation, like I was, there's a lot of confusion on what the language and what how do we effectively communicate. And I've been in several situations where I've had to come down, and interact with my team, and they're trying to explain something to an upset parent, and I'm listening to the conversation, and sure enough, both the parent and my employee both think they're right. They both think they're saying the correct thing, but as I listen to the perspective of the parent, then I have sometimes have to reiterate. Or restate in a different manner in a way that they can understand what this is. And then you see the parents say, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense, right? So communication, I think, is important. And I think a lot of that also has to deal with, cultural competency, knowing who is the audience that you're speaking with, whether they come from a different community, different culture, or they're in a different generation. Being able to communicate with them. I'm not going to talk to an 18-year-old the way I would an 8-year-old, right? When I interact with elementary school kids, I'm jumping around and waving my hands and one, two, three, yeah, but I don't really do that with an 18-year-old or with a 28-year-old or with a 48-year-old, right? So being able to understand the different groups that you're communicating with, and what language resonates with them, whether it's verbal language, whether it's unspoken language, your body language, your tone. You can hear somebody smile through a phone, right? Depending on their tone. So just various levels of communication, I think are important. So.
That's awesome. That's good. Thank you so much for jumping in and sharing that. Well, the last question that we'll hit on is, let's see, let's go with this one. Let's go with what are ways to communicate and facilitate that great communication is the expectation, right? So in the organization, what are ways to communicate and facilitate and operate to show people that, hey, like great communication is the expectation here. And so we'll go around the horn. We'll start with you, Woods.
All right. Be the example, man. You're the leader of that organization or whatever role that you play in that organization. If this is what we decided, just like I said before, you decide what your organization and how your organization is going to communicate, you got to be the example. You got to teach it. If whatever means of communication that you're utilizing, you got to teach it, and then you got to continuously use it with fidelity. It's not just something we said we were going to do, and I'm going to come in today and I'm going to use it then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We flying off the rails and we doing whatever we want to do. You got to teach it, you got to implement it, and then you got to be the example and use it with fidelity.
Good, so good. Swan, what you got on that one?
Be hot, be honest, open, and transparent. When I was in the classroom, I always communicated with kids like, hey, boys and girls, today Mr. Swan don't feel good. I need for you to kind of help me with that so that I won't take my frustrations out on you. Or, hey, boys and girls, today I have a lot on my mind. I'm thinking about a loved one that passed away. And then that calls for my students to communicate with me when they were having a bad day so that I would know how to serve them and I would know where they're at so that I can continue to help them to be successful. And even being a building level administrator, it's the same way with my teachers. Like, I have to let them know, hey, today's not a good day, because if you are hot with them, you're honest, open, and transparent with them, they'll do the same thing with you when they have things going on with their families or in their personal lives. You'll know how to serve them, because if your teachers are not okay, your children won't be okay. But if you make sure your teachers are okay, your children will be okay.
That's so good. In the words of Anthony Swan and Andy Mineo, coming in hot. Let's
Awesome.
go.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, Lopez, what you got on that?
I like the I like that a lot. We have a motto ourselves at our campus, and we don't do easy, we do excellence, because that's what it's about, being excellent every time, and that, and like you said, was you got to be that example, baby. Have show consistency, because there's nothing like dropping the ball and everyone looks at who, the administrators or the leaders, because they're like, you want this program to run like that, you got to maintain, have that strong, forefront. We got this, we're behind you, but this is our format. These are our formats we're using, and we're rolling. And so once they see that it's consistent, our campus has been very successful. And so that's one thing I can say that's been really positive.
Good deal, Dr. Wallace.
Yeah, I like what Coach Wood said, about being an example. It definitely starts with that, being able to model it. And what I also say is setting a vision for the team of what communication is. When we talk about customer service and hospitality, on a smile, how to shake one's hands, someone's hands appropriately, especially in the collegiate space, we deal with, again, a lot of diverse students from different backgrounds. We work with military students, who are coming into civilian life. We work with international students, and they have an expectation of American education, right? That's why they're coming here. So we have to make sure we provide a quality experience for them, even if it's something that they don't want to hear, right? If it's they can't get it their way, or if they didn't do something appropriate, there's still a way to communicate that. I have to do discipline with students and conduct, and I have students who do things that are against the rules. And even though they're adults, I still have to approach them with a level of respect. I always begin and end a conversation with, how do I help you succeed? Why? What's your why? Why are you here? So I communicate that to them, but I communicate that to my team. We have every Tuesday, we have our big Friday meetings where we have about 60 or 70 people come together. And I always kind of start off with a rally. I play sports, so I got this 1, 2, 3, go Mavs kind of thing. So we kind of pump everybody up and get everybody smiling and loose. And then we get to business. So there's a good time. There's a time to have fun and to communicate that. But they have to know how to switch into professional mode, and hey, it's time to take care of business. But it has to be consistent. Whether it's verbal, whether it's the attire and how you dress, what you wear, what you say, whether it's the emails that you send, whether it's the good mornings that you give, and I am not a morning person at all. I have to make sure that when my team says good morning to me, that I respond with a good morning, and I smile at them and ask them how they're doing. So that's consistent. And when you do those things, people will work hard for you. They'll work hard for you. They'll trust you because you've not only verbally communicated it, but you're in the trenches with them when the muck and mire happens. They'll work hard for you. I try to communicate that verbally, but I also communicate it through what I do. Definitely, that's a great question, Coach.
Yes, sir. That's good stuff. And that's some great answers you gave too, Doc. I love that. And the beauty of it is too, and I said this earlier, there's a couple of guys, Woods and Lopez, I've been in the, we've worked together, right? So these things that they're talking about, like I've seen those things. The same things with you, how you talk about getting them going with the 3, 2, 1, the background on all of that stuff. So been in the trenches with you as well, just to see those things in action. And it's a beautiful thing to see the communication and how you communicate with the people around you and show the respect to all, regardless of the age, and it's communicated that, you're there for service to ensure their success. And by your actions, by the way you operate, like that's shown, you don't even have to talk. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's a big thing about what we do too. Like your actions and how you carry yourself, it says everything. And so for me, just answering that question, I feel that effective communication is the bridge to be successful in anything, right? And I know we're discussing education, effective communication in education, but really, effective communication is the bridge that helps you be successful in anything, relationship. I mean, pick something. If you can communicate effectively, then you're gonna be all right. And so, as we close, I just kind of any final thoughts that you guys may have, and we'll just go back around the horn. Just any in conclusion, any final thoughts, and then after everybody does the final thoughts, I'll go back around. And then I'll get everybody an opportunity to share like their social media and where they can be followed so people can check you out. So Woods, any final thoughts on kind of what you got from our session today?
Communication can be misconstrued. Communication can be messy. I challenge people to check themselves and see if they're communicating effectively with the ones that they are around on a daily basis. Because you said, yes, writing education is so important. It is, because we don't have time to waste. But just everyday life, man, I just challenge people to really dig down deep inside and see if they can do a better job of their communication.
Good. Swan, what you got? Any closing?
Couple of things. Communication, effective communication can help you to grow, because it may cause you to be uncomfortable, but you cannot grow being comfortable. And actions speak louder than words. Speaking from a building administrator, it's important that your people see that you're on the same line or you're on the front lines with them, and you're not just in the office just doing paperwork. Sometimes you have to stop what you're doing and go in classrooms just to work with the small group. And it may shock teachers, but if they see that you are willing to serve with them and you're not just asking them to do it, it will cause for them to trust you and to trust your communication. That when you ask them to do something, they'll be willing to serve along with you because you're willing to serve along with them.
I love that. And I'm gonna go before we dive to you, Lopez. I'm gonna jump in there on that one, Swan, because I'm gonna just give you a big amen on that one. Some of the best leaders that I've been around were leaders that didn't just say, "Hey, go do this." They said, "Hey, let's go do this." Right? So just like you said, like in the trenches, not just giving directives, but hey, like in the trenches, and that shows that without a shadow of a doubt. So now I can say, hey, no, don't worry about it. I got it. Like we can handle it, but to show that like you're written, oh, let's go. Like you're ready to go. Oh man, let's get it.
It says a lot about you as a leader. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was the only principal in the building, but we had a lot of community members that were going to be in our building, and we were short staffed with, with our custodial. I picked up a broom and mop, and I was walking around the school, and my staff was looking at me like I was crazy. I was like, "We have guests. I want this school to be fine." I'm the assistant principal. The principal's out of the building, so I got to make her look good. Just letting them see I'm not above picking up a broom. I'm not above picking up a dustpan or a mop. I'm here to serve. And it just opens up a world of like, okay, wow, yeah, we really can trust you to lead us.
Yeah, I love how you gave that to it. I'll share one too. There was a situation when I was a head coach, and I was with a couple of my assistant coaches. We came out of the locker room, and there was some gravy on the floor in the hallway, like it spilled or whatever, and I just get down on all fours. I had a towel in my hands. I just get down there. I just wipe the gravy up. And the coach was like, "Hey, no, we can call somebody to come." Like, no, like I'm right here. I can do that. I ain't gonna walk by to call somebody. Like if it need to be fixed, like it don't matter who, like title, none of that matters. If something needs to be done, let's get it done. And that shows, I think that communicates the fact that like none of us are, above doing anything to make it work. All right, Lopez, we'll go to you, man. Any final?
I love it. I love y'all. Thoughts? Y'all throw it off to me. I said, maybe I said, I love it because y'all speaking straight from the heart. I love it. Keep it coming because you got to have that service heart. That's why we're all here. That's why we're in education, it sounds like, from every aspect. That's what I love because, they got to sense that feeling that you're in it to win it. And when they do, they're going to be in it to win it too. And once they got that buy-in, it's gold. You're on the right track. And gentlemen, man, it's an honor to be around all this great knowledge because, hey, I love everything y'all saying, but that consistency aspect that keeps on coming up in my head, hey, it's got to be gold because if not, then you see those chinks in the armor to where people are saying, "Oh, we got this, and then we got that. Oh, they forgot this, and they, oh, well, we dropped this." No, we got to be consistent. And so that's one thing our team, man, we hone in to make sure we hit every angle and then ask, okay, what are we missing? Because that helps us try to repolish and refine all those pieces that, oh, we didn't think about this, but did we do that? And just to refocus on, did we communicate everything? Did we hit every part? Are we using every format possible? Are we making sure that these parents know what we're expecting of them, but also their kids and for the year? And so, like we said earlier, that vision, that goal, all that comes down to, hey, making sure we're doing our part to hit every piece.
Good, so good. Dr. Wallace, any closing thoughts on communication and education?
Definitely, I think it's the communication of ownership. Oftentimes when I talk to my team, I talk as a we. I use the word we a lot, especially when we're going over updates or if there's projects or things that we have to do when we talk about retention or we're working on programs. I say, that's something that we just have to do better, and I'll work with us so we can make sure we do that. Let me know if you guys need any help, any support, I'll come and I'll aid. So what I'm doing is I'm letting them know that it's a we and not a I or a me. And I'm communicating that to them, not only verbally, but then when the time comes, I'm there when it happens. And I think that's important because, as I mentioned earlier, people will work for you when they hear you say that and when they see you do it. But it's also teaching them ownership. So that way they can communicate. When I talk to my managers and then my directors, they can communicate to their teams the same philosophy and that same mindset of, hey, how can we get here? Even if I do one-on-one coaching, I'm using terms like we. I never say you or I, especially if they, I said, well, how can we improve? What do we need to do to improve? When that person knows it's a one-on-one, it's really them, but I'm making them a part of the organization to let them know that everything that they do, I do, that it impacts all of us. So we have to be able to communicate that level of ownership and responsibility because it carries over to our students. I work with a lot of young men on a college campus. So I try to communicate that to them When they come to me about their grades and about adding and dropping the class and about what the faculty member did or didn't do, and I always put the ownership back on them. And I say, okay, well, did you communicate effectively? Did you ask these questions? Did you go visit them during their office hours? And a lot of the time it's a no. So again, just trying to communicate with them and show them how to use effective communication so they can advocate for themselves, because it's a skill that they're going to carry all the way through their adulthood.
Man, that's so awesome. So one other thing I want to do, like I'm sitting here listening, to the answers that you guys are giving. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, man, wow, how cool is this to be on a call, a video with so many amazing men that have been in education for a long time with some really cool experiences, right? And so man, just thank you guys so much for taking the time to be on and just share your experience. And I want to go again because I'm tabulating our years here, so just so you know what I'm doing. So tell me again how many years you guys have been in education. So Woods, if you can give me yours.
21. 21.
21. All right. Swan, what about you?
17.
17. Lopez, what about you?
I think it's 24, but I'm gonna stick with 23. I like to sound younger.
There you go. All right. And Dr. Wallace, what about you?
17.
17 years. So, man, just I'm not a math guy, so I'm not gonna throw that. I have to use my calculator on that. But man, just lots of years.
78 years.
How much you got?
78.
78 years of experience,
Not
man.
including you, though.
You didn't give us yours.
Oh, there you
Yeah,
go.
I'm on year 25, so let's go 24. 78 plus 24.
102.
102 years of experience right here. Man, so amazing. So good. Well, what I want to do is just go around the horn as we close and just have each of you get an opportunity to share where people can follow you, check you out, and then we'll close out. So, Woods, social media.
All right. Thanks, Chip, for having us on tonight, man. I really enjoyed being in the presence of you gentlemen tonight, talking about effective communication. So needed. Appreciate you guys joining us tonight. Thank you, Chip, for having us again. Charles Woods, you can reach me at Charles Woods WW on all platforms.
All right, Swan.
Thank you again for having me. I am the 2021 Virginia State Teacher of the Year. You can reach me on Twitter at 2021 VATOTY.
2021 VATOTY. There you go, Lopez.
I'm pretty simplistic. I just stick with my campus, and so you can reach me there. And it's Stockton Junior High and Edward Lopez at ConroeISD.net.
There you go. All right, Dr. Wallace.
Great to be on again. You guys can reach me, or anyone can reach me on LinkedIn as Dr. Jerry Wallace on LinkedIn. You can also reach me at Lone Star. So that's jerry.wallace@longstar.edu. You can also find me at drjerrywallace.com.
There it is. Well, again, man, and mine is my social media is at Chip Baker TSC on all social media except for Twitter, and it's Chip Baker 19. So again, I just want to say thank you, men, so much for taking the time to hang out and talk. Communication and education is so needed. And thank you guys for checking out this session. Hope that you were able to get some gems that you can go and apply in your organization. There it is. We'll see you next time. God bless.
Go get it.